Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is here. A rare moment of levity, laughing at Joe, so I'm not going to tell you what I was laughing at. But Joe McGranahan is here, superlative co-host, wonderful conservative, natural-born listener, old and in the way if there ever was a person. And
old and in the way? In the way of what?
I don't know, moving the furniture or something. I don't know. That's a phrase. Actually, old and in the way. I believe it's a band. I think it's a bluegrass band.
Never heard
band.
Them.
Yeah, well, old and in the way.
I don't like bluegrass, so it doesn't matter.
Mayor of Shamokin Dam, Pennsylvania Bar Association, Judicial Review, Thingamabob Committee, CSVT Task Force Chair. He's a broadcaster, Hall of Fame member, former member of the Pennsylvania Emergency Communications Committee. He's still on the executive board of the State Mayors Association, but his favorite title, thanks to two young men, is Papa.
Yes, I do like that title.
The grandchild. You just have to teach the second one to say it, and then you'll be all set. All right, he's still an infant, folks. He's learning. He'll learn.
Well, as my wife says, how does Papa go?
And .com. They invite you to do as I've done. Go to the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. They specialize in all types of service on vehicles. We're going to take our SUV there shortly. That's the gaudy-looking Ford Explorer that's painted up with pinkish, purplish hues. It's time for inspection, so we'll get that done. We'll get pumped up with nitrogen, and we'll do so Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. We may make our appointment ahead at sunburymotors.com, or it might just show up with the XUV because it's a wonderful vehicle, and we'll do that. We might even check out the online specials before we go down there, although I'm not sure we qualify for online specials. We might be considered family because we love the Sunbury Motor Company. When you are ready for your own XUV, you can build a Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or a Lincoln to your precise specification at sunburymotors.com, or check out the hundreds of pre-owned vehicles or hundreds of new vehicles they got at the Sunbury Motor Company. We're very grateful that they sponsor the On the Mark program that launches into the show. We have a toll-free line that is open, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can email us throughout our program at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. We would just love to hear from you today. All right, let's see. We had a thing that popped up recently. I'm going to read a short version. This is from Penn Live, and then there's a longer incident, also from Penn Live, that happened. The dateline is Millersburg. An 18-year-old Northern Dauphin County woman faces criminal charges after state police say she threatened to assault a 16-year-old classmate Tuesday night in a Facebook posting. So you're on Facebook, and you say, I'm going to punch you, something like that. For example, this individual from Millersburg was issued a citation for harassment. But that's not the first time online social media words ended up getting somebody in trouble. There was a previous case where a Hershey woman got in trouble.
That was just this week. Well, you took the story from me. Oh, no, you didn't. You gave it back. A Hershey woman wasn't exercising her free speech rights, and this is also, by the way, by Matt Miller from Penn Live, when she targeted a series of vulgar and defamatory Facebook rants at her ex-husband's new wife, a state superior court panel ruled on Monday. Instead, Kelly Daddario was breaking the law, and her harassment conviction by a Dauphin County jury must stand, the state judges concluded. That decision, made in an opinion by Judge Carolyn H. Nichols, means D'Addario, who is 52 years old, is stuck with a one-year probation sentence and an order to perform 100 hours of community service. Her legal troubles stem from 3 days' worth of Facebook postings made in June 2016. When the target of those posts called the Derry Township Police, a detective contacted the woman and advised her to remove the messages. That could have ended the matter, but guess what?
No,
she didn't. Instead, investigators claim D'Addario went back on Facebook, accused the other woman of having an extramarital affair with the detective, and questioned the paternity of one of the other women's children. They say D'Addario also called the other woman sexually profane names, described her as a fat, gross, and ugly person, and made lurid comments about her sex life. On appeal to Nichols Court, D'Addario argued she never should have been prosecuted. Her Facebook comments were about the other woman, not directed to her, and so constituted protected free speech. D'Addario insisted that. She claimed as well that Pennsylvania's harassment law is overbroad and infringes on free speech rights. Neither argument swayed the judge. The judge said her post did not express social or political beliefs or constitute legitimate conduct. Rather, she made lewd comments, including sexualized language and references to the other woman's sexual activity, which could only serve to harass, annoy, or alarm. Again, that's from Matt Miller's story in Penn Live.
Well, it says more about the perpetrator than it does the other woman. But I don't know. I think that's overreach. I understand that the judge has a statute in front of him that says that all of our work, all of our life has to somehow measure up to his decision about what
female judge.
About what is a legitimate purpose. But I think that's overreaching.
So you think this was
Facebook should be protected?
Free speech.
Yeah, because people volunteer. It's not like the town square. It's like you've gone into somebody's backyard and all of a sudden you hear something offensive and so you call the cops and say, hey, they're using the N-word or they're harassing, they're using the bad words. So that's why it should be protected free speech, because it's private. So if you don't like it, just unfriend her or, you can block
her. Do you remember
the
old NAB code?
Vaguely,
we used to operate under
sure.
this. And
yeah, we used to recite part of it.
Something called the fairness, the personal attack doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
And if you personally attack someone, the broadcaster, or if you allowed them to be personally attacked on the air, the broadcaster had to notify the person who was so attacked, tell them the nature of the attack, and give them time to respond. So don't you think that this is more than a matter of free speech? It's fairness. Why should your character or integrity be impugned by someone who has a personal vendetta against you with you having no recourse?
Well, you do have a recourse. You can comment on it. You can go on Facebook. You can go into her.
So what do I post in this woman's case? I am not fat, ugly, and gross.
Yeah, I'm not an S-word.
Is that what she should post and then hope people will believe her?
Well,
plus the fact, the people who see a Facebook post are your friends, so it's quite possible that in responding, the woman who she's attacking wouldn't have the same friends, so they wouldn't see the defense.
And what's the crime then? If somebody harasses you and no one knows about it,
if I tell 50 other people that you're a slime ball,
mm-hmm.
and you only know 25 of them, you can correct the impression with 25, but you can't correct the other 25 that you don't know. And yet you've been harmed by it. Those 25 might tell 25 more people.
Well,
Mark Lawrence is a slime ball.
But the beauty is it's all 50 know me, so they know that's not true. So
but they don't all know you. That's the hypothesis here.
Well, I don't know. I just think what you say on Facebook should be protected free speech. You shouldn't be able to get a harassment citation because somebody doesn't like what you're saying about them. If you don't like it, just turn off the Facebook, turn the other way, go into somebody else's backyard and listen to the conversation.
Tell me the difference between, suppose you got up tomorrow morning and there's somebody you don't like and you decide to write a news story about them, calling them names and saying they're fat, ugly, and gross, and you put that on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Should you be allowed to do that? It's free speech.
Well, radio waves are pretty heavily regulated because we operate here with the privilege of having this particular spot on the license.
In other words, the interest, convenience, and necessity.
So therefore, it's a different threshold of responsibility on our part to make sure that everything that we're broadcasting somehow benefits our community or at least entertains or has an actual value.
Well, it doesn't have to benefit or entertain, but it can't insult or degrade.
Well, our mission statement involves benefiting and entertaining the community. So I think...
Oh, yeah, I didn't know you had a mission statement.
Oh, yeah. As soon as you were gone, we didn't have any mission, so we had to develop one. But I just think that the big difference between radio and Facebook is 100% voluntary. You do not have to participate in Facebook. The conversations that you see are all, they're not private in terms of, you know, being unaccessible by anybody else. But if you don't like them, turn the page. But radio broadcasters have a responsibility. We told the FCC when they gave us this little sliver of the broadcast band that we'd take good care of it and help our community. And by darn, we're going to do it. And that includes not harassing people on the radio.
All right. Now, there you use the operative words, not harassing people. So it's all right to harass people on Facebook, but not on the radio, not on television. But Facebook's okay.
Oh, I would argue that when you say something bad about somebody on Facebook, it isn't harassment. It's just your opinion. And you have free speech, so you can say it. Just my opinion. People say that all the time.
The law disagrees with you here. The judge has found, and the police in, where was that other story you...
Millersburg. It's all centered in, it's all in or near Dauphin County. So
what about the threat? Let's take the other story. Let's take the threat. I post on Facebook, hey, Mark,
well,
I'm
going to
beat the living dickens out
of
you.
She threatened to assault a 16-year-old classmate.
Right. Now, you don't have a problem with that? Isn't that free speech? I'm going to beat you up.
I don't know. Threatening to assault a juvenile, that's a slightly different situation.
You have mixed morals here, my friend.
Well, I just think let's go back to what I said before. Facebook is a voluntary thing. If you don't like what you're seeing on Facebook, guess what you should do? You shouldn't call the cops. You should turn off Facebook.
So, in other words, I just turn off the threat that someone's going to beat me up and say, oh, well, I was just Facebook.
Well, I think free speech. I think we're going a little too far with, you know, constantly making sure that everything you say, Joe, your next sentence has to serve a legitimate purpose. Say something. Go ahead.
Today is Wednesday.
Did that serve a legitimate purpose?
Yes,
are we better off for that?
Those are people didn't. Yeah, but it's not a legitimate purpose. There's a difference between a legitimate purpose and just outright nastiness or trying to degrade somebody.
I mean, Facebook should be policing.
Isn't
this
your
stuff.
Good name and your reputation a large part of who you are? In other words, when people say Mark Lawrence's name, they respect you as a journalist, a community person, a former Sunbury Citizen of the Year. All the good things you do, all the good things Mark Lawrence does, I can tear apart on Facebook, and you're going to look at me and say, oh, that's just Facebook. I should ignore it and go on to another page if I don't like it.
First of all, I'm not a former Citizen of the Year. I am one of the Sunbury Citizens of the Year. So let's get that out of the way.
Well, I think they probably would strip you of that title if they knew.
All right. 1-800-795-9565. If you got an opinion about this, we have people threatening to assault people on Facebook. In this particular case, it's a Millersburg case where an 18-year-old, so an adult, is threatening to assault a 16-year-old. So we have an adult threatening to assault a juvenile on Facebook, says, when I see you, I'm going to punch you in the nose, you know, something to that effect. And that resulted in a harassment citation. My view is that should be protected free speech because it's on a private platform called Facebook. If Facebook wants to regulate it, that's fine, but the court shouldn't intervene and say, oh, no, we can't have anybody threatening anybody else. That's really terrible. You guys are all bad people. Shouldn't be doing that. All right, same story. There was a case out of Hershey where an individual was using a significant and series of disparaging remarks about her ex-husband's new wife, and she ended up with a harassment citation, and again, violating our free speech opportunities in the U.S. 1-800-795-9565, what's your opinion? Is that appropriate harassment citations issued in both of those cases, or should it be free speech and people should keep their nose off of Facebook if they can't stand it? What was that phrase, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen?
That's from Harry Truman.
Is it?
It's been a great spring at Sunbury Motors Kia, and they want to keep the strong momentum going into summer with the Summer Sticker Sales Event.
Sunbury Motors Kia.
Summer is our favorite season, and you'll agree with these great deals. Lease a 2019 Kia Forte LXS for just $199 a month for only 36 months with $1,600 total due at signing. Save over $6,000 on a 2019 Sereno LX, now just $27,301. There's $5,000 in savings on a 2019 Kia Sportage, now only $21,901. Plus, get 0% APR financing for 66 months on select 2019 models. And all Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, making it the best summer ever at Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Financing through KMF. Lease term is 3 months. 10,000 miles per year. $1,600 total due signing or equivalent trade. No security deposit required. Tax and tax extra. Offer expires 6/30/19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, I introduce our superlative co-host and mention that I'm a bad host, and that much you know. But did we mention that we have a fantastic, fabulous, hard-working, wonderful, attention-grabbing Mr. Rob Center on the other side of the glass? He's our producer, call screener, and super-duper helper. It keeps us informed and lets us know what's doing occasionally. Bumps up the bumper music, so it's highly appropriate, and we appreciate his hard work and his help. It doesn't get enough credit around here, so we really appreciate that. 1-800-795-9565 is my telephone number. Does this relate to our Facebook discussion?
Yes. One of our writers says, my neighbor was arrested back in 2017 for threatening my other neighbor on Facebook. I think it was a private message, but she was in Snyder County Prison for a while. And they send a link to a story.
Okay, well, you follow that while I talk to Dale. Dale, you are on the mark. Thank you for waiting. You're on the mark.
Well, I just wanted to talk about the new tax rate in Shikellamy School District. I realized, I guess, our Northumberland County elected officials realized that Shikellamy's area is a dumping ground for low-income families. So basically now we have to have security higher police as guidance counselors, and well, that's one rate. You know, we're getting more police for Shikellamy School District, and Dan Wolf is going to make everybody pay for state troopers. So I don't know. Is it out of hand, or people are being derelict in their duties for their jobs? They're getting these high salaries, and they can't handle the workforce. Is that what it is, or is it just that the low-income families are just coming in by the boatload? I don't understand how what their thought process on what I don't understand. If the more lower people are moving in, and you're raising the taxes, so are they paying the taxes, the lower people, or?
Well, as a person, you occasionally go to school board meetings, so you are very informed on this. What are the constraints? Why would the school board do this? You know this answer. Why would the school board do this?
It's because guidance counselors and the low-income families are coming in by the boatload. So I think it's the elected Northumberland County officials to put pressure on landlords to vet these people. If they have no jobs and all like that, and they're going to come in and collect assistance and not pay the Shikellamy School District tax, I think they're not qualified to come here. You push the burden on someone else.
Right.
So
you're like Joe. You want people to behave like you do. You want everybody
you. No, I'm just saying, when's it going to end? Government is getting so big, Mark.
Right.
This wolf is getting ready to break out. Everybody's got to pay for state troopers. Mark, I mean,
Why don't Steelers Grove take some? Thank you, Dale.
I don't understand how we can't divvy this. I think Northumberland County is the worst county in the area.
Steelers Grove School District has police.
Right, all the districts do. That's the effective way to police a department. But it is costly. I think Midwest had $100,000 wrapped up in terms of staffing it with one or more officers and vehicle and office and equipment. You got to equip the officers. So that's the way the districts go. But if you go to school board meetings, they very clearly explain the justification. So, and they talk about what the parameters are. I would venture, I guess Dale has not in fact intended, despite his remarks, has not attended a school board meeting. All right, we'll take more comments.
Your remark, you said he had.
That's what he has said, okay. I would venture guess he's not actually informed on this. We'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565, the toll-free line. Dan, you are on the mark.
Hi, Steve. You mentioned earlier about someone being able to stand in the town square and defame somebody, and that would be they could be charged because of what they said. I don't see how it's any different if you put it on Facebook in this day and age because of technology and the number of people that that say that. And I think it boils down to if the government, if there are not laws about civility, we'll have a problem. That's it.
Well, I think those standing in the public square is one thing, but doing it on Facebook's another, isn't it?
Well, is it really different? I mean, you're talking about the number of people who are going to hear you say it or can hear you say it, and it's Facebook is a kind of a community center now, the way it's set up. So it's just a matter of how many people are going to hear what you're saying. I don't see how there's a difference. And Steve said that you could just turn it off. Same thing, if you're in the center of town, you could walk away and you won't hear it. But that doesn't change whether it's breaking the law or not.
Well, you're right. I agree with you on that. But, I mean, it is a public square. I agree. Facebook is kind of the new public square. But it's not intended to be a space where you stand on a soapbox and spout, you know, your personal beliefs against someone else. I don't think they ever intended it that way. As Mark always says, this is a private company, and they can impose whatever standards
they
want.
Right, it's a private company. Plus, you volunteer to participate in the conversation if you don't like what you're seeing. I mean, I wouldn't pick a restaurant out on Routes 11 and 15 and go there day after day after day constantly complaining about how bad the food is. So why would you go on Facebook and call the cops because there's something, hey, look, I volunteered to go to this private social media page, and guess what? I saw something that offended me. I'd like you to charge the author with harassment. Well, that makes no sense at all. It's a private conversation on a private platform. It's not the public square. It's just the opposite of the public square.
I don't know, Dan. I agree with you on this one. Still there, Dan? Oh, okay.
We'll give you the last word.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. We kind of have to move forward with to stay with technology, and if we allow everyone to just even though it's a private company, okay, it's a public forum, if we allow everybody just to go in there and put down everybody else for it's a problem for our country.
All right. Noted. Well, that's a good point. Okay. Thank you so much. Appreciate the call. Van, you're going to probably be the last caller before the top of the hour, but you have the floor. Go right ahead.
Well, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
So if I understand you right, Mark, you're for cyberbullying. I mean, that's a big issue nowadays. And in our area, there's been some recent suicides from people that, based on their sexuality, different posts and things that they were bullied online. Yeah, so there is a problem with that.
Oh, I'm not for it.
Are you for that cyberbullying?
Yeah, Van, no, I am not for that. I don't think anybody should do that. And immediately, if you detect somebody is doing that, you should turn away. Because if somebody says something bad about you, you should definitely... be like every day, you drive down the street, and as you drive by your neighbor's house, you roll down your window, and he says, hey, Van, you're a lazy, no-good-for-nothing, rotten person. So you call the cops. Why don't you just keep your windows open or closed when you go past the neighbor's house?
And then why don't people not post things like that on social media, like Facebook and Instagram and other things like that? And the way it sounds to me is the way you're talking, it's free speech, so everything goes and you shouldn't be offended. Isn't that what you said earlier?
Well, I think, yeah, it is.
That's
free
what he said,
It
man.
Is free speech. And, yeah, and if you don't like it, turn it off.
But the free speech is threatening you or causing you harm or emotional distress. That's what the right to free speech ends when you cross into your personal space and your life.
Well,
that's right. The old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. Words cut deep into people, and there's people that are old people like us, and they can look back and remember things that were said in the past that left some scars. So words do affect people, and especially young people. And this whole social media thing has caused a lot of people nationwide. I won't even begin to guess how many people have committed suicide because of some person getting on being hateful, posting things that, according to Mark, what you said earlier, it's just free speech.
Well, I think it's an opportunity. If you don't like what you're reading on Facebook, turn away. I think you have a volunteer.
But, Mark, there's young people that their emotions run so high that they can't deal with that. So it should not ever happen. There should be some restrictions, and there should be penalties that people have to incur by mistreatment of people on social media.
All right, we noted. All right, well, thank you so much, Van.
I'm with
appreciate
you, Van.
That.
I appreciate your common sense.
And the courts and the police and the appellate courts and now the state superior court agree with you, Van, and they disagree with me. Thank you so much.
Have a good one.
Hey, you too, buddy.
Thanks for calling.
All right, 1-800-795-9565, our toll-free line. You will need that shortly because during the 9 a.m. hour, we will have open phones.
You know, the bottom line to me here is that when you start saying something on Facebook or any other medium that hurts me or causes me emotional harm or distress, you've crossed the line.
Joe, you're a lazy baldy from Berwick.
I'm not from Berwick.
Aha. So you have plausible deniability.
I am bald, however, I'm not lazy.
Okay. But honestly, should I be charged with harassment?
There. How are those words? Ineffectual twit. Look those up.
I'm not sure I have deniability, so we're going to have to take a break. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show. Mr. Joe McGranahan is here. He's superlative and Rob Center's fabulous. Matt Catrillo's stupendous and he's over in the newsroom. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check him out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Some brief news headlines before we launch back into open phones. A branch of Luzerne County Community College is officially coming to the Valley this fall at their meeting Tuesday. The LCCC's Board of Trustees approved an agreement to establish their new center at the Watsontown Elementary School. The Valley already has LCCC in Shamokin. Lackawanna College has a thriving campus in Sunbury, and there is a community college initiative underway locally. Several items from the road report. Route 45 near the Union Center County line is going to be closed today at 1 p.m. for a short time while a truck crash is cleaned up. Central Susquehanna Regional 911 says the accident was first reported just before 8 p.m. last evening. The road was closed for a time. It'll be closed again today. It's open now, but will close after 1 p.m. A Berwick man died in that wreck that blocked I-80 yesterday for several hours. 74-year-old Earl McCormick Jr. died in that accident. And lane restrictions coming to Route 147 between Northumberland and Sunbury on the Packer Island bridges tomorrow, so watch for some slowdown there. He did it. He did the veto. Governor Tom Wolf vetoed the legislation that would ramp up taxpayer support for private and religious schools in Pennsylvania. In Governor Wolf's veto message Tuesday, he questioned why Pennsylvania would expand a tax credit that subsidizes private schools while the state's public school systems remain underfunded. The Democratic governor has criticized the tax credit program as lacking accountability, saying little is known about its educational quality or the middlemen groups that can withhold the 20% of the money. The Republican-controlled legislature passed the bill over Wolf's objections amid budget discussions. Just four Democrats voted for it. It would have nearly doubled the educational improvement tax credit to $210 million annually. The program effectively lets corporations and businesses direct their public tax dollars to private and religious schools. And let's see. How about this? From Phoenix, of course, we've probably all seen this. A father says he and his family are lucky to be alive after Phoenix police aimed guns and yelled obscenities at them in a videotaped encounter. Dravon Ames said during a meeting last night in Phoenix over the encounter, followed by a reported shoplifting last month, that he, Aisha Harper, and their two children were lucky to be alive. Ames said no one should ever try to justify what happened that day. Harper's holding the couple's one-year-old child, saying, "We matter." The father of Jacob Harris, a black 19-year-old man who was shot and killed by a Phoenix police officer in January following an armed robbery at a fast food restaurant, also spoke at the meeting. Meantime, Phoenix Mayor Kate Gallego and the police chief Jerry Williams continue to express regret after a shoplifting report involving a child ended with officers being videotaped pointing guns and yelling profanities and handling the family in a rough fashion. You've seen this, of course.
Sounds like Harrisburg. We had that same incident down there where people were outside trying to help the police, and the police were cursing and swearing at them and dropping the F-bomb.
Seems to me police are out of line in that particular case. And
in this one, definitely. It was a child took from a dollar store a doll, a little doll, and the parents didn't see it.
Right.
They shouldn't be approached like that. I mean,
Well, and the profanity, too, that was being yelled is not part of this particular story. This is a short update, but the police officers using an excessive amount of profanity. I don't know that any is appropriate, but seemed like too much. All right, so
they should be able to interact with the public without cursing at them, although I can understand police frustration in dealing, with some of these miscreants. All you have to do is watch the television show Cops for a little while to realize what the police are forced with. But they're trained
what they're
to
faced
a higher but they're trained to a higher standard. They should be able to handle this.
So more training might be necessary for some of those officers involved in that incident, or maybe all of the officers.
In the two incidents we're talking about, definitely.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number, and we do have a pretty vibrant discussion underway. It involves Facebook, where if you say on Facebook that somebody is sexually active in a derogatory fashion and that they are a member of a certain racial group, we'll say the N-word, or use threatening language on Facebook, you can be charged with harassment. I'm arguing it should be protected free speech, just for the sake of our discussion today, I will say that. But I'm agreeing with the defense attorneys who say it's a protected form of free speech. I liken it to you walk up the street and go in one of your neighbor's backyards and suddenly you don't like what you're hearing, so you call the cops. Well, the solution would be to stay off of Facebook if you don't like what people are saying.
You're always arguing in favor of anti-hate speech and that people should respect one another.
Well, I don't think people should use that kind of language. But unfortunately, for individuals who are sensitive to it, it is legal to use that kind of language. Mm-hmm. So if we say Facebook, okay, so we say Facebook is the new town square, so you cannot, not as opposed to the new town square that's down in Delaware County, that's not the one I mean, but it's the new
town square. The new town square.
But anyway, in this particular case, it's a private group. You sign up, you volunteer to be on Facebook. If somebody's saying something negative about you, how about if you just get on somebody, go to the Facebook page about happy puppies and switch to that? Or you say you like Facebook because you want updates on grandchildren.
Yeah, I love to see my friends' grandchildren,
right,
and what they're achieving, what they're doing. I don't post anything political on Facebook, although I have people who do, and I'll admit it irritates me because I have friends who are more conservative than I am and friends who are much more liberal than I am. And I get these competing email messages all the time. Well, I didn't sign up to learn what your politics are, or that you hate the president or you love the president. But, to keep in touch with you, and we haven't seen each other for a while, I like to know what's going on. I'm in contact on Facebook with a lot of kids I went to high school with.
Well, you will be surprised to learn that most common sense individuals disagree with me and say that Facebook harassment in many forms is, in fact, the same as legal harassment. And the state superior court agreed with one particular case that emanated out of the Hershey region. And one of our listeners sends this note.
They say, "Really, Mark? The victim should look the other way."
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Lance, what's your view on this?
Why, the call screener said I was coming in really loud and clear, but on this end, it's really terrible, but I can understand you.
Sounds
okay to go?
Yep, sounds perfectly good. You sound better than ever.
Okay.
You sound great.
Oh, okay, here we go. Why, insofar as folks who bully, in the aggregate, my back in the days when I was really bullied, my great aunt said, why should you be concerned with what a cesspool of shallow morons told you in regard?
Yeah, no name calling.
Well, no, but I mean, that really describes these people. So why in the world would anyone think that their opinions mattered at all?
Hmm.
I mean, it's a good way to look at it.
Right. Yeah, that's fine. I agree with that. You know, they're if people are resorting to name calling, you should stay away from those lowlifes.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Also, you know, with Governor Wolf vetoing what he did, why the the public education mafia doesn't like competition, and that's what it amounts to.
Yeah, this is a dilemma. Yeah, what's your view? Okay, so what if you have a... Well, never mind. Let's not get into that. Let's get into it a little bit later, but let's stay on the Facebook harassment because the next caller relates to that.
Oh, okay.
So, but yeah, you're right, Lance. Let's set that aside, but that's a very good question. That's a big, that's a big pickle, I think. All right, Lance, thank you so much for calling in. 1-800-795-9565. Is it criminal harassment when you say horrendously offensive, terrible, threatening, derogatory things about somebody else on Facebook? Even if you don't say it to them, you just talk about it. You know, you just say, hey, I happen to know Joe is X, Y, and Z, and I'm not, you know, I didn't Facebook message and send it to him. I think it's protected free speech because it's all voluntary. If you don't like it, turn it off. Bobby, what's your view on this? Are you on Facebook? Do you have a Facebook page?
I'm going to say I have access to one.
Okay,
I'm going to question, you know, Mark, I've been around the industry as a licensed FCC engineer for 47 years, and
really?
I still get all the industry updates. And I'm going to read from multi-channel. It's called First Amendment Things First. NCTA, the Internet and Television Association, wants the U.S. Supreme Court to recognize the First Amendment burden of public educational and government channels when it weighs in on a case involving a programmer and the manager of a New York's PEG channel. And, of course, it goes on later on, you know, in the article to say if the court rules for petitioners, it will further cement petitioners' control over channel capacity and rightly belongs to cable operators. And if the court rules for respondents, it means that no one will have the right to exercise editorial discretion over the programming carried on those particular channels, and increasing the risk that they will carry programming that is not only of little interest or value to a cable operator's comments, but is also offensive to those customers. But what they're trying to say is, from that standpoint, at this level of the game, the subscriber, and that, of course, has the right to, I'm going to say, cancel the service if they don't like it. So it's still in the hands of the person who subscribes to Facebook, subscribes to Twitter, and subscribes to the internet services. If they don't like the service, they should complain to the carrier. I mean, if somebody doesn't like your thing on the radio, you know, they have the right to complain.
Right. I hope they won't. But they can go to the owners of the radio station, or they can go to the FCC and say this is a violation of good standards. All right. Noteworthy. Thank you so much. Appreciate the call, Bobby. Thanks for calling in.
There's a difference between federally licensed institutions and Facebook, which is not
You're
federally
kidding.
Licensed.
Yeah, why isn't Facebook worried about all this? They allow all this harassment to go on?
Well, first of all, broadcasting is regulated under the premise that the public owns the air, and we send our signals through the air. So there is at least a grounds for regulating us. Newspapers, on the other hand, don't have anywhere near the regulations broadcasters have, because they're not using the anything public to produce their paper. Maybe the streets to deliver it, you could maybe make that argument, but no one has successfully made it since. You know, so newspapers could be a lot more outspoken in terms of what they say about people than broadcasters are allowed to be.
Right, because you can put the newspaper down, but you can't put down Facebook. You can't turn it off. Once you start to look at it, you have to keep reading.
But the thing is, if the newspaper, I was going to continue my point, if the newspaper prints a story about you that is libelous or slanderous or untrue, you have recourse in the courts. You can sue them.
Or you read an article that says, I'm going to kill you.
Well, I don't think a newspaper would publish a story saying we're going to kill Bob Smith if he doesn't do what we like. But they might well print something that was incorrect, you know, and they have the right to retract the story. They have a right to print a retraction, and you have a right still to sue. But you don't have any of these rights on Facebook, as far as I can tell. Because you're right, it is a voluntary subscription service, you know, and you sign on to it. But you should have your privacy respected, and of course, Facebook has been notorious for not doing that. They'll be happy to sell your name and your information to almost anybody.
But that's what you get. If you sign up for Facebook, they're a commercial company. Their goal is to not be the new town square. Their goal is to make money. So if somebody comes to them and says, well, first of all, what are you giving private information to Facebook for in the first place? But secondly, what do you think this company is there for? They sell private information.
No, they sell advertising. The sale of private information is an ancillary service.
Right.
That
it's just an add-on.
They found a way to make money.
All right. 1-800-795-9565. Seeing no more emails or calls about this particular topic, we will move on. President Trump did announce his...
Well, first of all, admit you're wrong and you lost.
Oh, I will not. None of those are true.
They
I will admit that
true.
You are bald and lazy.
I'm
How
going
about
to post
that?
On Facebook, Mark Lawrence lost the argument desperately, badly today.
And cannot wait to get to commercials so we can get another topic going.
Right.
One that I can win. All right, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com. You can do as no one has done today, and that's text us at 7...
Well, that's because we haven't started talking about the president yet.
All right. President Trump announced his reelection campaign last night. Seemed like a pretty typical speech, but prior to that, we did have John, or no, who is the speaker that you have the clipping from about Joe Biden?
Donald Trump Jr.
Don Jr. Okay, that's right. So, all right, we'll talk about that. Our next president of the United States spoke before the president, so we'll talk about that. Stand by.
It's been a great spring at Sunbury Motors Kia, and they want to keep the strong momentum going into summer with the Summer Sticker Sales Event. Summer is our favorite season, and you'll agree with these great deals. Lease a 2019 Kia Forte LXS for just $199 a month for only 36 months with $1,600 total due at signing. Save over $6,000 on a 2019 Sereno LX, now just $27,301. There's $5,000 in savings on a 2019 Kia Sportage, now only $21,901. Plus, get 0% APR financing for 66 months on select 2019 models. And all Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, making it the best summer ever at Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Financing through KMF. Lease term is 3 months. 10,000 miles per year. $1,600 total due signing or equivalent trade. No security deposit required. Tax and tax extra. Offer expires 6/30/19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark.
Are we on?
We're on the radio. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com. President
Trump. God bless the president.
Yes. Isn't that a funny thing? Yeah. Let's see. From Psychologist Today, they had an opinion piece. Well, let's start out by saying the president made his reelection announcement last evening.
It was so much fun this morning to watch Morning Joe. Oh,
on MSNBC.
The faces on those people. Oh, they look like they've been sucking on lemons all night long. They had one gentleman on, one of their talking heads. I didn't recognize him. He was a person of color. He said, I watched it last night. I didn't really want to, but I forced myself to watch it. And let me tell you, it was sickening from start to finish. It was just awful. I didn't think it was awful, but I mean, I do think he just rehashed the same old stuff, aired all his past grievances.
Well, it's the same outline.
All the little bombs he threw before. I mean, it's
the same outline. It's what we've done, what we want to do, who is our ally, who's here with us, and he goes around the room. Should we switch to keep America great or make America great again or keep America great? And then some parting shots at whomever's running, sort of leading in the Democratic Party. It's the same outline. So I did not hear anything new, and I heard most of it, but not all of it.
Well, I don't tend to watch them just because they are, it's terrible to say, but if you see one, you've seen them all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are the same thing over and over again. And if you support the president, as I do, from the standpoint of policy, not from his personal attacks. But, I mean, more troubling to me was the fact that he was about to make this Shanahan the Secretary of Defense, and their vetting process inside the White House must be awful. They never caught all this stuff about Shanahan.
Right. It was extensive and public. So.
Well, yeah. And I don't know that it should disqualify a man that his son and his ex-wife had an altercation.
I agree with you.
And
on
even her relatives say that he didn't hit her. You know, so I'm sorry to see, if he's a qualified man, I'm sorry to see him take his name out of the running, although the Secretary of the Army seems to be a good guy. But it does ask the question, or begs the question, what kind of vetting process takes place down there? Does the president just say, I want Shanahan, and they just say, okay, well, he wants Shanahan, we better not look into this guy too closely? Or did they somehow miss all this? And, of course, the media missed it as well.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We have one traffic advisory that's popped up. Route 54, very slow trying to get in and out of Riverside. Slow on the Danville Riverside Bridge. Slow on Route 54 east and west in Riverside. Not quite sure. Must have some pop-up construction there or something. But so that has emerged on our Google traffic. We check Google traffic 2-3 times an hour, so you do not have to. Okay? So, yeah, I watched the rally. Now, are the people that are... that are in favor of the president, are they more zealous than other people at other political rallies?
Well, you know, right now I think most of the rhetoric that's coming out of the talking heads on MSNBC, CNN, and Fox is irrelevant. You know, we're too far away from the election to have to be worried about polling numbers. You know, maybe it's an indication of where you should campaign. You know, you may need to campaign at some place. But I think right now, to me, the polls will be primarily for my interest as a candidate, knowing where I should allocate my money, where I've got a chance, where I don't have a chance, you know, and what can be done about those places where I don't think right now I have a chance.
Well, I'm learning a lot about that, watching Designated Survivor, and the presidential campaign is underway.
Yes, I'm watching that as well.
Okay. Anyway.
It's much better now that it's off the network, by the way.
In some ways, yes. But in some ways, anyway. We digress. So I asked about this zealousness of the individuals who are at the rally. Do you get the same thing at a Biden rally?
People? No, okay. I don't think you do.
Or other candidates?
I think he had 6,000 people when he announced his campaign. Trump had 20,000 last night with more outside. But, you know, the folks on MSNBC this morning were saying, well, they keep seeing these helicopter shots of these long lines waiting to get into a Trump rally. And the reason is they slow down the entrance process so that they keep getting these long lines outside.
Has nothing to do with the fact that the president of the United States is going to be inside.
You know, so on one hand, you have the idiots on, and I really think they are, they're bigoted, hateful people on MSNBC in the morning.
It's like a spite, almost.
You know, and on the other hand, Fox is just sugarcoating everything. I've noticed that some things they completely ignore. CNN, I think, comes close to trying to be balanced until you get to the Don Lemons and the Jim Acostas. You know, but their morning show with Allison Camerota and I don't know who the other guy is seems to be at least fair and at least balanced to me. But, you know, the president, if this is just going to be four more years of the same thing, it would seem to me that he's learned nothing and forgotten nothing. They used to say that about the Bourbon Kings. You know, they learn nothing, they forget nothing. Well, he forgets no insult, and I don't know what he's learned. But, you know, on the other hand, then Bernie is not my idea of an ideal candidate because there was a big story this morning, which I'm sure the left will completely ignore. He doesn't know the difference between revenue and profit.
Who's that?
Bernie Sanders.
Oh, that's funny.
He doesn't know the difference.
Well, if you're a socialist, what does it matter?
Well, I guess it doesn't. But, you know, he's saying that, it's just a long story unless we get into it. But, you know, people make fun of Trump because he doesn't understand tariffs, and he doesn't. But let's be honest. Here we have a guy who's
Well, look at Joe Biden inappropriately touching people. Finally got to the point where he had to apologize. And at his next rally, inappropriately touched children. So, I mean, now, come on. And plus, made fun of the whole process, made fun of the learning process, saying, oh, I have permission to inappropriately touch these children. Come on.
Well, I don't think
either you learn a lesson or you didn't. Let's just admit you didn't learn it in the first place and you still don't know.
Well,
it.
I mean, we're products of our own political correctness run amok in this country. You know, I don't know of any of the candidates on either side that I think are speaking the truth or speaking from the heart. I think they're just everybody's trying to politically position themselves for the main chance. Here's how I get elected. I got to do this. But Joe Biden has flip-flopped so much his back must be sore. He probably needs a chiropractor from all the flip-flops he's doing.
Creepy by any standard, Republican or Democrat. You know, this constant groping of children and so on.
And sniffing the hair of women and, you know, and course, and everybody says the president's grabbing crotches, which I don't think he's
actually
doing.
Well, that's before he was president. I think he suspended that operation. All right. Psychology Today had an opinion piece. Joe's a better reader.
They said the belief that Trump is a messiah is rampant and dangerous. When a leader is seen as infallible, supporters become disciples. Psychologists have explained quite a lot about Donald Trump's political invincibility and the unconditional allegiance of his followers. One well-supported explanation is that the president keeps his base loyal by keeping them fearful through persistent fear-mongering with scary messages like illegal immigrants are murderers and rapists and Islam hates us. Trump gets to play the role of the great protector. But there is another major reason why Trump loyalists do not waver no matter how he behaves or what scandals come to light. For most evangelicals, it is not only fear that keeps them in line, but also faith. A cognitive psychology researcher who has been writing about the science underlying Trump's unshakable support since he began his presidential campaign, I have learned through comments, emails, and discussion forums that a significant portion of his supporters literally believe the president was an answer to their prayers. He is regarded as something of a messiah sent by God to protect a Christian nation.
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with thinking that.
And that is an opinion piece. That is not necessarily.
Yeah, that's not research psychology.
That's not research psychology from the American Psychology Institute or whatever.
Psychology Today magazine. I saw that on Facebook yesterday. I thought it's kind of germane. I don't think there's anything wrong with somebody thinking that something or somebody is an answer to prayer, but this idea that he's infallible, they're his disciples, and that they give him unconditional allegiance, that bothers me. I mean, that just seems nerve-wracking.
But I don't know that they do. I mean, I'm not a total Trumpite, as you might call me, but I support what he's doing with the economy. I support what he's doing in foreign policy.
But you want to take his Twitter account away.
I think he's more right than wrong, but I mean, his potty mouth, he needs to have his mouth washed out with soap some days, and he needs to have some concept of what it is to be presidential. At his rallies, he says, I could be up here and act like a president, and you'd be bored and leave. Well, I would relish having a few minutes of being bored. But one of the comments that I did hear on, I think it was on Morning Joe this morning.
Well, he does behave like a president sometimes.
Yeah, he did in France when he gave that speech. And someone there, I think the MSNBC boy said, well, isn't it amazing that when he actually does something that's halfway decent, we make it seem like it's the most wonderful thing and not standard, which was what we should expect from the guy.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We got a caller waiting, and I have to take my quickie break to stay on schedule. But join the list of individuals who wish to talk about President Trump's re-election bid, the disciples who follow him. If you want to use that word, maybe you disagree, let us know. 1-800-795-9565. Hey. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Three callers and 20 minutes left in the show. So we start out with Lance. Good morning, sir. You are on the mark.
Okay. Now, as we think of doing the same thing over and over again like that, what built McDonald's? You deserve a break today. And that really worked for him. It went through everybody's head, and that is the slogan that did it over and over and over again, right?
Right.
Well, okay, now you think about criminality and everything. Well, wasn't Judas just as instrumental in saving the human race from its sins than what Jesus was, when you get right down to it? Right?
Prophesied and...
What does this have to do with politics? You've lost me.
Well, President Trump is Judas. I see where we're heading here.
In politics, we were doing the same thing. We're over and over a slogan to get your political ideas across. You see what I mean? And also, when you think about a criminal, Judas, he was definitely a criminal, and God was instrumental in the savior of the human race. When we were in the garage business, we had a fellow there that was a librarian at the Federal Pen, and he always lamented all of the great minds that were rotting away behind bars, all of the ideas that these folks had that would have really been beneficial to all of us. However, we're being, you know, punished back there.
Well, they can still think and do things and write.
Oh, yeah, I understand this. But you won't let one of those people be anywhere in the government where they could make policy, would you?
Not generally, no.
See what I mean?
They could write to their U.S. senator, though, and we encourage them to do so. All right, last word. Go right ahead, Lance.
Well, I think that's it.
That's okay. It. All right. Thank you
really
so much for being a participant today.
Right. You got your second minute.
All right. Email, please, quickly.
Right. Mike Bolick says, I like when people say Trump doesn't understand how tariffs work. I think some people don't understand how the threat of tariffs work. He threatens to put them in, the foreign powers change their ways, and he rarely has to go through with it. Sounds good to me. Well, I agree with Mike that his implementation of tariff threats is wonderful, but when the guy doesn't exactly know who's paying for them, that's a little troubling.
Right, when he says China's going to really pay now.
Right.
We're going to charge.
He is a genius in using them.
We're going
to
charge.
To get what he wants.
Your phone is going to cost you a lot more, boy, and China's going to struggle because of that. Cindy, you were next up. You were on the mark.
Well, I didn't call about tariffs. I just want to say this. Suppose, then, that these foreign created products that come in the country cost more. Might that change the American consumer's behavior to choose a more locally produced product?
It's possible if it's available.
So it doesn't have to cost me a dime. I could just stop buying that garbage that's imported from overseas and buy American-made products and not pay a penny more.
Or might it encourage someone to start a business here in this country to make the products that are
recognizing the demand, right? Or it might provoke the American company who offshored the production in order to make a profit, a greater profit, to bring it back here to avoid the tariff.
Right.
So it isn't inevitable that I pay the tariff. That's nonsense. Just like I pointed out about tomatoes. You know, grow your own. Tomatoes come from Florida. Tomatoes come from California. But these authorities on world economics want you to believe that you can't possibly end run this. Sure, you can. Lots of ways you can end run it. You don't have to buy it in the first place. But that is not why I called. I called because the synopsis of President Trump's speech last night, I watched it in its entirety on C-SPAN. And maybe that's where the problem lies, because he said a lot of things that I saw on C-SPAN that apparently aren't being reported on the other channels. And I don't understand this unless they cut off the speech before it was over or somehow edited it. For example, he talked about ending the scourge of HIV, ending it, eradicating HIV in our country. Nobody seems to be discussing that. He talked about bringing cancer under control, turning it more into a chronic illness. Now, he didn't use those words, that's mine, but getting control of cancer. He talked about that. Nobody's discussing that. He talked about setting up the staging to go to Mars. Nobody's discussing that. I don't understand. Of course, could it be, then, that those who are discussing it are biased to only focus on those things they think are derogatory and skip over those things that could be positive or looking to the future? I heard him say a lot of things looking to the future. But maybe that only comes through on C-SPAN, which only sets up a camera and runs it. They don't edit it. They don't tell you what to think about it. They just let it run.
Probably a better choice for viewing.
Well, and the other channels were, when Vice President Pence was speaking, they were talking over him. I don't need or welcome them telling me what to think. I'll do that for myself, thank you. Just let me hear what the people have to say. And I think this is a good example of what happens when you rely on these third parties to tell you what the person is saying. Then you're not going to get the facts. What you're going to get is their interpretation, their cherry-picked issues, their positives, perhaps their, and most overwhelmingly in this president's case, their negatives about it, rather than just let me hear what the man has to say and I'll decide what he's doing. I'll decide what I hear. I'll decide what I have faith in. I don't need them to tell me what to think.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Thanks. Good comments.
Appreciate
good comments.
The call. Eric, please go right ahead. You're on the mark.
Morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. A person having an inflated sense of their own importance, a deep need for excessive attention and admiration, troubled relationships, and a lack of empathy for others. Sound like anybody we know.
Read that again.
Sounds like a diagnosis to me.
A person having an inflated sense of their own importance, a deep need for excessive attention and admiration, troubled relationships, and a lack of empathy for others.
Well, I don't know that I buy all of that with respect to the president, but I buy some of it.
Isn't it interesting, though, that's immediately what we think about?
Were you thinking of someone else?
This is the Mayo Clinic's clinical definition of someone with a narcissistic personality disorder.
All right, but
we can talk about as much as we want, gentlemen. People considering president a messiah or what have you. But myself and others, I think, are open-thinking people. We call it swallowing the Kool-Aid. It seems that once someone has bought into what Mr. Trump professes and is supporting him, there's no way. You swallowed the Kool-Aid. And now you accept him no matter what because, well, that's just present. That's just. But I truly believe, and I have a degree in psychology, I truly believe that our president, the leader of the greatest power in the world, has a narcissistic, personality disorder. I look at what CBS showed with him, in that tape in the White House, where one of his staff members coughed, and he couldn't have that on tape because someone coughed while he was speaking. Isn't that frightening that this is the person we've elected to have control of the greatest military and nuclear power in the world? Isn't that frightening to people? It is frightening to me.
Eric, you have a degree in psychology. My interest is history. I can tell you Trump isn't the first president we've had with a narcissistic personality.
In fact, it probably helps.
Absolutely, but we did also, Mr. Nixon was that close to being impeached, was he not?
I'm not just talking about Richard Nixon.
Oh
I think you can make the same argument about Franklin Delano Roosevelt and any number of other presidents.
I think that's how you get to be president, is you want the attention.
I don't think you can run for the office without having something of that in you.
What's the
opposite? I've also studied FDR, and certainly he was Machiavellian. But to say that he was narcissistic or that he had a lack of empathy for others, my goodness, he put in the New Deal to draw the country back out of the doldrums. And that's narcissistic. That's lack of empathy. When did he ever, from his speeches, point out to someone with a disability or something and call them out and make fun of them and in front of or on the radio make fun of people?
Well, quite often. Do you remember his speech about his? I'm trying to respond to you. Remember his speech about his dog? Do you remember what he did when he tried to pack the Supreme Court? There are examples there that you could find that pretty much indicate a narcissistic tendency. It wasn't overwhelming, but he had it.
But did he berate? Did he berate single citizens?
Yes, his enemy, his political enemy.
I don't recall that.
It doesn't have to be a disability that you berate someone for. It can be just their personality, and he certainly did take on. So did Harry Truman, took on what he called the do-nothing Republican Congress. He had specific comments for individuals. That doesn't mean that he's not a good person. FDR was a great president, but he had some narcissistic tendencies. And I don't think they would preclude Donald Trump from being a great president if he could master them and get control of them.
Right. But all I'm saying is if he has his personality disorder, he needs help, and he won't get help because he feels that this is exactly what the American public put him into, a minority of the American public, put him into office for because this is what they want, and that's scary.
Noted. Thank you so much for calling
Thank
in.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. Thanks for your opinion, Eric. Appreciate it.
One of your emails, please.
All right. One of our emailers says, good morning. In 2018, Trump withdrew the U.S. from Obama's deal that prevented Iran from developing nuclear weapons. Now he's sending 1,000 more troops to the Middle East to prevent Iran from developing nuclear weapons. This is what foreign policy by moron looks like.
I like how you yell capital letters. You have to warn us, though. Let's see. Paul, last caller before a quickie break. You're on the mark.
Gentlemen, the tree of knowledge is catching up with man. and we will surely all die.
Well, thank you for that, Paul, and you have a nice day, too.
Okay.
Is that it?
Oh my gosh. Well, since he didn't use any time, we'll go to Dan. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. Why, you gentlemen reverse everything on its head. The Messiah complex. We're not following Trump as a Messiah. He's following the silent majority that never had a say in politics. He's following us. You gentlemen turn it on its head. I love when they say that. Trump's the first president that I voted for that's following his voters, the ones that put him in office. If you hear what he says, that's exactly what we say. So I disagree with that. People that say we have a Messiah complex, it's just the opposite. Trump's representing the voter, the people that put him in office.
No, but Dan, you have said on this program that you believe God sent him.
Yeah, amen, brother. He did. And he's in, I believe, every president is put in office. God could keep Obama out if he wanted to. And God. And I prayed, I'm one of the ones that prayed for Trump to get in office. I prayed that Obama wouldn't, but God overruled me for his purpose, which I don't always understand. But I do know why God put Trump in office. I can answer that. I cannot answer, well, I can partly answer why God would let Obama be elected. But the reason God put Trump and allowed Trump to be in office, allowed us voters to put him in, is because we saw America going down the tubes into socialism, not the representative republic that we loved and was more representative when I grew up of the people.
So,
and that's why God said, okay, America, I'm going to give you one chance. Maybe this is our last chance.
So Dan,
to save the republic.
So he's
Dan,
our savior.
God didn't foresee the possibility that a Barack Obama would lead us down the wrong path?
He did. Certainly he knew that. He knows everything from end to beginning. The way I look at it, he left Obama go in, and maybe some of us silent majority would wake up out here and fly over red country, and maybe we'd get out and vote. And Trump, I hardly ever meet anybody out here that didn't vote for Trump. I know there's people around, but they won't admit it.
We're the Democrats.
But I hardly meet anybody out here. And they all come across the same story. Every one of them. I don't prime them what to say. They say this was America's maybe last chance to preserve our union and representative republic, because we were under Obama, we were sliding down the hill towards socialism.
Well, I have to stop you there.
Than a sled on ice. You know it.
Yeah, I have to stop you there. Not because of what you're saying, but because of the time.
Okay, you guys have a great day. Great program again.
Take care.
I appreciate that. Thank you. All right. 1-800-795-9565. Stand by, Tony. You are next. We got one email pending. We will be right back.
Fun never ends.
Are you happy now?
I'm happy now.
Okay. All right. 1-800-795-9565. Joe and my wife now know a secret. All right. Tony's been waiting. I'm sorry, Tony. Here I am chit-chatting, and you're tapping your fingers.
I'm driving, and I'm singing. I hope you didn't hear me singing.
Oh, we did not.
Actually, we did, and we want to sign you to a recording contract.
Give that man a contract.
I was listening to Eric, and I was just wondering, what is more narcissistic than thinking you can diagnose someone via the news media?
No, that's an interesting point.
Well, behaviors are the indicators, and if you look in the, they have a big book of diagnoses. I forget what it's called. I think it's called the Psychologist's Big Book of Diagnoses. They have indicators of certain things, like indicators that somebody's going to commit suicide, or indicators that they have a narcissistic personality.
Well,
and the president has
I've
those.
Seen the big book. I've seen Steve Martin's Big Book of Jokes too.
Yes. Okay. Well, it's
and
a different
I'll
big
tell you
book.
Another thing, you have Dan there who has a. Can tell us what God is thinking. Maybe you should put him on earlier in the day, and he can tell us what God's plans for PennBud are that particular day.
Well, he doesn't say what God plans to do. He just talks about his knowledge, about what he knows. So that's like everybody else.
Well, he told us what God, well, maybe he has a personal connection. We can find out what PennBud's up to.
We all have a personal connection, if I may be so bold.
Spoken like a Lutheran lay leader.
How about it?
You ought to go to racetrack with me and find out if we have a personal connection.
The racetrack, okay. So it seems
I'd
like
I'd rather go to the casino if you have a personal connection.
Is that a godless place?
No, God left me out long ago at the casino.
We're off the track
here.
Have
a great day, guys.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate your call.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. One of our listeners sent us a note. It doesn't specifically relate to President Trump, but it does relate to the election.
It says, good morning. June 26th and 27th are the start of the Democratic debates. I wanted to get this out because Trump wants to be in the news every day. I'm worried he will do like Bush Jr. did after 9/11 and put fear in the people of the United States of America.
Do you think the president is fear-mongering as it relates to immigration? I mean, he's talking about valid laws that exist.
He's telling the truth about what's going on at the border, you know, and the fact that I love the fact that some of the reporting I heard, and I agree with Cindy on this completely, some of the reporting I've heard completely ignores the fact that what he's trying to do is go after the immigrant or the people who are here illegally who have already received a final order from a court that they should be deported. Mm-hmm. The media is completely ignoring that and just saying, oh, he's going to get rid of a million immigrants. That's not what he's talking about doing.
Right. These are folks that are
so, I mean, the problem is there's so much distortion in the coverage of the president that, you know, if he were just an average guy doing what he's doing, I might actually dislike him. But part of me feels sorry for him because I don't think he's getting a fair shake in some regards. And I don't think he's certainly not getting credit. I heard Joe Scarborough refer to the 9-year Trump Obama recovery. That's like saying President Trump didn't do anything, which is really makes him look like the idiot he is.
Well, Scarborough.
Scarborough. Right.
All right. One that relates to our discussion earlier today about Facebook.
Right. Dick says, true threats are not a protected form of free speech. This has gone all the way from the lower courts to the Supreme Court, and this means words have meaning. Ilonis versus USA.
All right. Thank you for that. We do have some other emails that we did not get to, and we always promise if we don't get them to them one day, we're certain to ignore them the next. So we'll try to squeeze them in. So. But we appreciate everybody listening and tuning in. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. Joe and I will be back tomorrow for another argument. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury WKOK News Time. It is now 10 a.m., time for the Dan Patrick Show, and we'll have an encore today during the Phillies game.